Hello, I'm Raffaele Lupotto, responsible for investor relations here at Piaggio. First of all, I would like to thank you all for taking your time today to follow this conference call on the first 9 months of 2017 financial results. Today's conference call will be held by Mr. Roberto Colaninno, Piaggio Group Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, and by Mr. Simone Montanari, Piaggio Group Chief Financial Officer. During today's conference call, we will use the presentation that you can find on our website. And as usual, I remind you that during today's conference call, we may use forward-looking statements that are subject to risks that can cause actual results to be materially different. And now I'm glad to hand over the conference call to Mr. Montanari.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for attending the call. As usual, I start the conference from page 3 by giving you a snapshot of the key demand trends. We ended the first 9 months with mixed dynamics, Europe keeping a slight negative trend compared to last year, while two-wheeler in Asian and in Indian markets speeding up, and light commercial vehicle, more importantly in India, bottoming out. More in details. In Europe, as said during last conference call, after the negative start of the year with Q1 ending down by 2%, the market reduced the slowdown in Q2, ending down around 1%, and finally edged slightly up by 0.7% in Q3, ending at the 9 months at the negative 0.8% in the first month. So all in all, we can say that, as expected, the European market is recovering, although at a slower pace than previously expected, mainly on the back of positive dynamics in Italy, Benelux, and France. As highlighted in prior calls, the European scooter trend stemmed from diverging dynamics. Healthy demand for 50cc, which is ended up by 8%, and the negative trend for the over 50cc, which ended down by 7% on a challenging comparison base, as, if you remember, last year this segment has been boosted by the introduction of the Euro 4 engine. U.S. on the different path with demand edging down by 8% in scooters and 4% in motorbikes. In Asia two-wheelers, the positive demand trend strengthened sequentially in the 9 months, boosted by Vietnam, whose market demand accelerated as the year progressed, followed by the Philippines and Taiwan, both up double digits, while Indonesia demand ended flat with strong rebound in Q3. In India, light commercial vehicles, the negative effects of demonetization that affected the first and the second quarter of the year finally and eventually vanished, and demand shifted to positive in Q3 with a plus 4%. This is the very good news in our market scenario. And this bodes well for the Q4 2017 and the first half 2018, when we will benefit from an easy comparison base, because as you probably remember, the monetization had been introduced in November 2017. Indian two-wheeler kept on posting strong growth, with scooter demand up double digits, thus confirming to be the fastest growing and the biggest market in the world. Moving to page 4, we have a snapshot of Piaggio performance by geographic area. In Europe, our group confirmed its leadership, namely in scooter, with 10 percentage points of lead over the closest competitor. European selling volumes kept on growing mid-single digit, mainly on the back of positive performance in Italy, Germany, and the Netherlands. It is again worth mentioning our performance in the European 50cc market, where our volumes grew double digit, outstripping market trends. From a product standpoint, Vespa had been again the bright spot among scooters, with volumes and revenues up double digits, while Aprilia boosted bikes growth in Europe and US. Asian performance remained weak, as the outstanding performance of Thailand and China was still unable to counterbalance the decrease of other countries, namely Vietnam, where reviving our sales is proving to be as challenging as it was expected. Noteworthy, again, the good performance of Vespa that posted positive revenue trend in all the Asian areas. India, by contrast, was on a different path, posting an improving performance in all segments starting from light commercial vehicles. Light commercial vehicle revenues shifted to positive in Q3 on the back of the improved market condition, and we expect now an acceleration on the positive trend in Q4 that last year had been hit hard by demonetization. Two-wheelers' positive momentum strengthened in Q3, with volumes and revenues surging more than 100%, with sales that reached an all-time high in September. More importantly, these outstanding results stemmed from the strong acceleration of Vespa sales, again as in Europe, by 70% up in Q3. That should pave the way for a medium-long-term solid and sustainable growth in the segment. Let's move now to page five, where a quick summary of Piaggio financial performance in the period. As you can see, Piaggio, and as we already said in the six-month results conference call, Piaggio reached an all-time peak both in terms of profitability and of cash generation. I'm pleased to highlight that these outstanding results had been achieved even if we had to face an unsupportive demand trend, primarily in India and, on a lesser extent, in Western countries. EBITDA grew around 18 million euro, up to 160-159, with a ratio on net sales that reached 15%, 1.3 percentage points above prior year, the best performance to date. As in prior quarters, these results stemmed from a significant improvement in gross margin combined with our ability to curb operating expenses. More in detail, gross margin grew by 17 million euro, with a significant uplift on the ratio to net sales that reached 30.9%. That means almost one percentage point above prior year. Net profit grew by 13% to 25 million euro, and all in all, we achieved strong results in all key P&L metrics. Even more importantly, I think Piaggio generated 60 million euro of cash in the first nine months, an all-time high, then pushing the net debt down at 431 million. That is significantly below September and December 2016 levels. Let's move now to page six to have an in-depth analysis of the group trend by business. As you can see, overall volumes continued to trend up since the beginning of the year. We started flat Q1. We went up 3% in Q2 and up 8% in Q3 to finish the first nine months up by almost 4%. This positive trend stemmed from different and in some way opposite dynamics, with the two-wheeler volumes up by 12% and light commercial vehicles down by 12%. Revenues followed the same secular trends, ending up plus 6% in two-wheelers, while down 5% in light commercial vehicles. More in detail, looking at the two-wheeler business, the biggest delta in volumes came from India, whose performance had been fueled, as said before, by the Aprilia SR sales and the outstanding performance of Vespa. As you know, vehicles sold in India have a dilutive effect in terms of average selling price on our results, and that explains the slight decline of the group average selling price in the two-wheelers. In Western countries, two-wheeler kept on growing mid-single digit, both in volumes and in revenues. The best performing countries had been Italy, the Netherlands, and Germany. In Asia, the outstanding performance of Thailand, that had firmly overtaken Indonesia both at volume and at revenue level, and China had been unable to fully compensate the prolonged weakness of Vietnam, which ended the first nine months down double digits in volumes and revenues. Commercial vehicles halted the slide in Q3, mainly benefiting from the improving performance in India, where the negative effect of demonetization finally vanished in Q3. Again, this is the good news. Notwithstanding India's first half adverse market condition, our average selling prices grew, testifying once more the group's sound price policy. Let's move now to page seven to look at the breakdown of the performance by product. Overall, we grew by 12.3% in scooter and 13.2% in bikes, while decreasing in commercial vehicles has been still affected by the first half negative performance due to the demonetization effect in India. Going into details, I would like to underline again the performance of Vespa among scooters, and Vespa grew in all regions, both in volumes and in revenues. in Western countries, it went up, Vespa says, double digits, both in the 50cc and the over 50cc segment. Similarly, in Asia, where Vespa posted robust double revenue growth, besides Vietnam. In India, as highlighted before, volumes and revenues surged around 30%, boosted by the strong pickup around 70% in Q3. Among other scooters, I would like again to highlight the healthy performance of Beverly and Liberty, both up in revenues and around 20% in sales in Europe. In bikes, two-wheelers, Aprilia had been the main driver of the revenue growth, mainly benefiting from the volumes and revenue increase of the models Tuono, Shiver, and Dosso Duo. Moving now to page 8, we can have a look at the EBITDA bridge. As said before, we achieved a record EBITDA results in the period, primarily on the back of the outstanding performance at gross margin level. Notably, the cash gross margin grew by 0.8% above prior year, leading to €16.6 million of positive effect. As you can see in the chart, the positive results is evenly split between the volume and the pure gross margin effect, which testify both our ability to deliver efficiency and sustain the firm price discipline. Lastly, a great effort has been done to keep operating expenses below prior year level, despite heightened marketing expenses. Going to slide 9, we can see how the improvement in EBITDA of around €18 million more than offset the growth of the D&A, essentially linked to the increase of amortization of intangible assets coming from past year investment. And this led the net result significantly above prior year, plus €6 million, that means 0.5 percentage point on sales, after higher charges from taxes coming from a higher earning before tax result. To sum up, we can move to slide 10 to have a recap of the group financial highlights. Net sales from 1,032 to €1,057 million, up 2.5 percentage point, or plus 2 percentage point if we exclude the forex positive effect that is mainly linked to the Indian rupee revaluation. Gross margin grew from 30 up to 30.9%, that means almost 1 percentage point higher than previous year. EBITDA margin grew from 13.7 up to 15%, up 1.3 percentage point, while the EBIT, the operating result, grew from 60 million up to 69 million, that is plus 14%, with the margin on sales up 0.7 percentage point from 5.9 to 6.5. Net income grew from 19 of last year up to 25, that means plus 31.2%. Furthermore, you can notice the strong performance at the cash flow level, which led the net debt €39 million below September 2016 and €60 million below December 2016 level. On the next page, we can have a better look at the evolution of the net debt. Let's move so on page 11, where we can see the net financial position evolution, which benefited from the improvement in all key drivers. Operating cash flow grew more than last year on the back of higher gross margin coupled with flat operating expenses. Working capital positive contribution, slightly higher than last year, coming from a lower absorption of VAT receivables and payables. Capital expenditure has been lower than last year on a favorable comparison base, as in the 9 months 2016 had been affected by the investment for the completion of the new European painting facility. The change in equity led to a lower cash absorption, mainly benefiting from a zero buyback compared to €5 million spent in 2016. As a result, we generated €60 million of cash compared to the €29 million of last year that has been the best performance to date and whose part pushed down the net debt down to 431.
So I think that now we are ready to answer the question you may have. Okay.
The Q&A session is now open. You can register for your question pressing star followed by one. First question comes from Mr. Renato Gargiulo from Intermonte. Mr. Gargiulo, your question, please.
Yes, good afternoon to everybody. Well, my first question is on Vespa. We have seen the continuation of a very strong trend, especially in India, but also in Europe. I was wondering if you can give us, can you tell us what are, in your view, the main drivers behind this performance, in particular the strong acceleration in Indian volumes? The second question, also related to this one, is on mix. Can you give us an indication about your current mix, meaning that clearly you should have a positive impact from the strong performance of Vespa, likely partly offset by some of the new models, Liberty and Beverly. So the net impact you are experiencing is positive or not? And that's all for now. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Gargiulo. I start from the first question, Vespa. Well, Vespa has different assets on which we leverage for her performance. In Western countries and all around the world, the brand Vespa is still very, very strong. I think it's one of our most powerful brands. In particular, in India, where the growth has been so important, we are leveraging on an improving and on increasing in the dealer network in India. We opened almost 50 more dealers in India, also thanks to the fact that in this moment we have more extended product range compared to last year, and again, with Vespa and Aprilia. And so thanks to this, we are able to deliver these results in the Indian two-wheeler business. In terms of mix, if you refer basically to the contribution of Vespa and then the Liberty and the Medley, as we said before, to our mix and so to our average price, the answer is yes, they contribute a lot to maintain the average price at the same level of prior year, notwithstanding the fact that the 50cc scooter market and our market share in this segment is outstripping the higher than 50cc market. So we are counterbalancing this effect with selling the high value and high brand and high price positioning product we have in our range. The only dilutive effect that you can see in our average price, in our average group results, is coming again from the increase of the Vespa in India.
Thank you. If I may, just a couple of follow-ups. The first one is on Foton. You recently announced a new strategic partnership for like commercial vehicles. Could you provide us any more detail about that, especially in terms of potential cost savings, too, in terms of production for like commercial vehicles for the European market? And the second question is on Asia. If there are any changes, a more general question, if there are any changes in strategy given the recent let's say reshuffle in management. Thank you.
It's very early to comment on Foton because, you know, we are still in our pre-developing phase. I can remind you that we are referring to a segment that in our P&L 2016 has been around 4,000 units, putting together the Porter and the Quaggo vehicles. Keeping this in mind, and thanks to the agreement with Foton, I think that we should increase the four-wheeler sales significantly, also thanks to the expansion of the addressable market, and starting from the end of 2019 and then going forward. Furthermore, I can highlight again that one of the benefits and of the assets of this deal, this potential deal, is that we will be limiting the capital expenditure for the development of the new product range while simultaneously delivering important product cost reductions. As for Asia, as you mentioned, we changed the CEO in some months ago. So again, it's very, very early to comment on the new performance. We are satisfied. Our expectation for the coming years is that Asia should increase compared to the level of 2017.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Mrs. Monica Bosio from Banca IMI. Mrs. Bosio, your question, please.
Good afternoon, everyone. I would have three questions. The first is my usual questions. It seems to me that the third quarter results are outstanding with the EBITDA, which is above the consensus, slightly above. But on top of this, the net debt is much better than expected. So I was wondering if you would feel confident for a guidance, qualitative guidance, soft guidance in terms of EBITDA, slightly above 190 million for the full year. And if you, what can you expect, can we expect for the net debt side, which seems to me better than initially expectation? And the second question is again on Futura. I apologize, I know it's really early, but according to my model, if we start from a volume base for Futura of  4,000 units, there's room to improve these 4,000 up to 10,000 in the next four years. Am I wrong? And second question, the third question, if you can give us an indication about the D&A by year-end. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ms. Bosio. So let's start from your usual question. The first one, full year 2017 guidance. All in all, well, I expect to keep on growing on the Q4 2017. I believe that we are well positioned to achieve in the Q4 a level of EBITDA at least in line or slightly above last year, and thus I confirm that the guidance I gave last conference call of reaching the 190 million euro is definitely achievable. Coming to the net financial position, the cash absorption in the last quarter of the year should be at least in line with the one we had in 2016, leading to a net debt full year December 2017 that may be around 450 million euro, thus 10 million euro better than the last indication and the consensus expectation.
Sorry, can you repeat, please? 250? No, sorry.
450. In the last conference call, we were forecasting 460 million euros for the financial position. Now I can see 450.
Okay, perfect.
Coming to Futura, okay, very early, you're suggesting, is it a reliable hypothesis if I forecast 10,000 vehicles in the, let's say, 3 years from now, starting from the 4,000 of today? Yes, I think that is something that we may rely on. The third question, it is D&A full year 2017, we will be in the range between 120 and 123.
Okay. If I may, another follow-up. Do you have a flavor on the registrations, I'm sorry, on the registration or sellout for the scooter market in Europe in October, and what do you theoretically expect for the full year in terms of volumes?
Very early. We do not have any numbers, a reliable number on at European level. I just have the Italian one. I can see that at this moment, right now, the 25th of October, the Italian registration results are positive and increasing compared to last year, to something in the region of 10%.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Michele Baldelli from Exane BNP Paribas. Mr. Baldelli, your question, please.
Yes, thanks for taking my question. I've got a couple of questions that relate to the European market. First of all, I was wondering if you can confirm to me a sort of data that I took from the ACEM press release. Is it going in September down double-digit Europe, or or how much was it down Europe in September, the two-wheels registration? And the second question relates to the cash generation. If you can provide us a sort of idea of how much of this cash generation was probably driven by higher level of securitization of or reverse factoring, if there was any of these as a reason.
Thanks, Mr. Baldelli. Starting from the European market, double-digit decrease seems to be a very, very strange number to me. That is, in our data source, 9-month results, overall European market is going down by 0.8%. I saw the Achem result yesterday night. They are picturing a market going down by 1.2%, 1.3%. So basically, we are in the range of a decrease of 1%, not double-digit.
I was wondering about just the month of September.
I do not have the data with me. Again, what I was looking, it was, for example, I was mentioning to Ms. Bosio the data on October, and the data on October are positive. The cash flow generation, I come to the question to the cash flow generation. Let me give you, before starting, a brief comment on the working capital. The working capital has been further reduced by 20 euro million compared to the last period of 2016. The breakdown of the increasing of the working capital is mainly receivable increased by 28 million euro, inventories increased by 29. On the other side, we had payables increased by 60 million euro, and the other asset decreased thanks to the action we took in order to have to lower down the VAT receivable and payables. Factoring on receivable has been around 95 million euro. That is slightly higher than the same period 2016, in which it has been 85. So we are talking about 10 euro million higher. I think, I'm sure, this is mainly linked to the volume effect of European sales. In fact, as you've seen, we posted a robust growth in Western countries, and this is the geographic area in which we use more the reverse factoring, the factoring on receivable. If you refer to the reverse factoring in your question, the factoring on payables, it was basically in the same level of 2016, actually 10 million lower than 2016. And again, I remind you that all the numbers referring to the reverse factoring have been already included in the commercial payables that you see in our balance sheet. So you do not have to add this reverse factoring data to the commercial payables that you see in the balance sheet. So all in all, the factoring on receivable has been increased by 10 million euro, and it is linked to the higher European sales. The reverse factoring on payables has been reduced by 10 million euro, and the result you see already in the balance sheet.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Nicolò Storer from Mediobanca. Mr. Storer, your question, please.
Yes, thank you, and good afternoon, gentlemen. I have two questions. The first one is on the European two-wheel market. Which are, in our view, the reasons behind this weakness on the scooter side? Meaning, it's true that the market is recovering, but recovery seems totally driven by motorbikes at the moment. So I was wondering if you have any kind of clue on what's going on in the market. The second question is on India. I saw from the slide number 4 that volumes of Vespa are doing pretty well. Are these volumes totally driven by internal market demand, or inside these figures, we also have export to neighboring countries? And if yes, can you please give us a breakdown of internal versus external sales? Thank you.
Thanks for your question. The first one is quite difficult as a question. Two-wheel market, you properly underlined that we do have different trends in scooter compared to bikes. Bikes is already recovering at the pace that we were expecting. Scooter still not. Inside scooter, we do have two different trends, the higher than 50 cc and the lower than 50 cc. The lower than 50 cc market is recovering yet. The higher than 50 cc is still not there. I think that it is also due to a different comparison base because the 2016 market higher than 50 cc benefited from the introduction of the new Euro 4 regulation. So I think it is due to the different comparison base. Coming to India, volume on Vespa, the answer is yes. We do include in the results that we publish also the Vespa produced in India but sold in the export market. We do not give in this moment the details of the data on the export and on local market. What I can say is that, by the way, also in export but also in local, we are increasing.
Thank you, thank you. Maybe as a follow-up, which are, in our view, the drivers of this rebound in the 50 cc market? I mean, is there any particular driver or trigger behind the reported growth, or is just a broad market recovery?
Both. It is a market recovery, plus I think the preparation of the new Euro 4 regulation that will happen starting from the 1st of January 2018, and so in the last months of 2017 we may benefit a little bit on this.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Filippo Drini from Kepler. Mr. Drini, your question please.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions, if I may. The first one is on raw materials. Do you feel going forward some pressure from raw materials that could affect part of your 8.3 million gain that you achieved? I think it is a gain also from raw materials in the first 9 months. And the second question is on India commercial vehicle. Given the level that you achieved at the end of this year, do you envisage for next year a growth of volumes and then of revenues, if you want, versus this level? Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Brini, for your question. Starting from the first one, raw material, well, I can say that the result of 2017 in terms of gross margin has been quite extraordinary, very, very positive. It came also thanks to the fact that we worked a lot. We benefit from material cost, but we worked a lot also on our purchasing department in order to have a group view of all our purchasing. What I can see going on is that very likely the improvement potential compared to this starting point are not so huge as it has been during 2017. So if the question is, do you see any further potential on gross margin? I think that we are starting from a very, very high point. Do you fear any pressure on material prices? A little bit, yes, but I think that we will be able to counterbalance them with our new purchasing department approach. The second question was on India light commercial vehicle. If I remember well, expectation for 2018, the answer is yes. I see that there are potential improvements to expect in 2018 in the Indian light commercial vehicle market and our group sales.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at the moment. I remind you that you can register for your question pressing star followed by one.
Sorry, I think that now we can stop the call. So thank you very much for attending the conference call. As usual, if you need further info, you can call me later on this evening, also during the weekend. Thank you very much. Bye.
The conference call is over. Thank you for calling.